Gilbert Markham has been reading about Helen Graham's tempestuous marriage to Mr. Huntington, but there's just a chance that he's turned over a new leaf.
Helen Graham, the widow and elusive new tenant of Wildfell Hall, had given me her journal to read. She promised I would understand her past and the reasons she was hiding with her son. I stayed up into the night, and as dawn approached, I was still reading.
October the 7th, 1824. I have reason at last to hope. I have reason to believe my husband loves me.
She had been looking out at the night sky when she overheard two of Huntington's friends grumbling about the change in him. They said it was down to love.
Not long afterwards, I noticed Huntington out there too, staring like me up at the sky. I was so light of heart, so overflowing with affection, that I ran out and sprang on him and clasped him in my arms.
Bless you, darling. I didn't see. Oh, Helen.
Did I surprise you?
What are you doing?
Your friends are unhappy with you, Arthur, but I want to thank you.
What's this?
I overheard them. They said it was love that had changed you.
Is that what they said?
I've wronged you, but it isn't too late. I'll love you better than I did.
You mad creature. Get inside. You're cold.
It's the most beautiful night, Arthur. I couldn't be happier.
Our guests will be missing you. I shan't be long.
I'll save you a place at my side.
She was in such a good humour that night. At dinner, she narrowly observed Huntington and Lady Lowborough, and neither seemed to notice the other. How wrong she'd been to doubt her husband. After dinner, she even sat down to a game of chess with Mr. Hargrave.
Where is Lady Lowborough?
She went for a walk.
And where is Huntington?
What do you mean?
Checkmate, Mrs. Huntington.
Helen flew to the garden. She had scarcely reached the place where earlier that same evening she had kissed her husband before she heard voices.
We've stayed here too long.
One more, Annabella.
I can't believe you really kissed her. Was it awful?
I had to get rid of her.
Don't you love her? Just a little.
Not a scrap.
I must go. You terrible man. Before Lobra wakes up and notices. Same time tomorrow.
He was right in front of Helen. She could have touched him. But she couldn't move. She couldn't speak. Helen retired to the large, empty dining room where earlier she had been the life of the party.
Everything I see and hear seems to sicken my heart. How can I bear my future life?
Helen? What are you doing in the dark?
I want to talk to you.
Where have you been all evening?
Close the door.
You look like a ghost.
What does it matter to you how I look? You have no feeling for me. And from tonight, I have none for you.
What's this?
How long has it been going on? Since she came? Or longer?
What on earth do you mean?
I'd leave you if it weren't for my son. I'd leave tomorrow. I was in the garden tonight, Arthur. I saw everything.
Well?
Will you let me take my child and what remains of my fortune?
And go where?
Anywhere that is free of you.
No.
Then will you let me have the child? Without the money?
I won't let you go. I won't let the child go. You will both stay here. Do you think I want people talking?
In that case, From now on, you and I are husband and wife only in name.
Very good.
I am your child's mother. I am your housekeeper. I am nothing more.
Very good. We'll see who tires first.
Arthur, show me you are repentant and I'll try to love you.
It's not worth it, Helen.
That night, she did not sleep. She turned to her journal, hoping for relief.
How am I going to get through the next 10 or 12 days before they go? And once they are gone, how will I get through the months and years of my life? When I think of how I have loved and forgiven and worked for him, and how cruelly he has stamped on my love and betrayed me, it is not enough to say I do not love him. I hate him.
At last, morning came.
Beautiful day, Helen. Did you sleep well?
Lady Lowborough, I want you to leave. You can have my husband if you want him, but you can't have him in my house.
My dear, I have no idea what you mean.
I enjoy a moonlight walk as much as you.
I can't give him up. I'll do anything, but not that. I love him more than you ever could. Does my husband know?
I haven't told him.
Are you going to?
I have no wish to cause him the pain I feel.
The truth is, I've rendered you a service.
I beg your pardon?
You know what a state Huntingdon was in. Nothing you did could make him change. But when I told him that I could not bear to see him so degrade himself, he stopped. So you'd better not drive him back to his old courses with your piousness. You'd better take care of him once I'm gone.
As the time of departure drew near, the more insolent Huntington and Lady Lowbury became. They did not scruple to speak with affectionate familiarity in her presence. Sometimes she even wondered if she should seek revenge, but she couldn't. She still felt she could forgive Huntington, if only he would repent.
How much allegiance do you owe to that man?
None, Mr. Hargrave.
You consider yourself free?
Free to do anything but offend God and my conscience.
Very right. Providing your conscience be not too tender and your ideas of God too severe.
Thank heaven they will all be gone tomorrow.
Well, Helen, now it's just you and me.
It was the third anniversary of her marriage when Helen entered her new phase of conjugal life. Two persons living together in one house as father and mother of a child, but with a mutual understanding that there was no love, no friendship, and no sympathy between them. She again proposed a separation, but again he would not hear of it.
I will not have people saying my wife could not live with me.
Huntingdon abstained from the excesses of wine, but he was soon up to his old ways again.
What am I supposed to do? Stuck here with a woman with a marble heart?
When he was under the depressing influences of the after effects, he bemoaned his sufferings and his errors and charged them both upon her.
It's you that drives me to it. You and your frigid piety. Where's my son?
You're not in a fit state to see your son.
Arthur!
Yes, Papa?
Come and sit on my knee. You shall have a glass of wine with your father.
Don't give him wine.
I shall do whatever I like.
Give me that child.
Papa!
Arthur, it's all right, my love.
Arthur, Papa, Arthur, wine. Papa?
There's my boy.
Another year passed. She seldom wrote in her journal.
December the 20th, 1825. I am weary of this life, and yet I cannot wish to leave it. I cannot wish to go and leave my darling child in this dark world alone.
And another year passed.
My husband's friends are here again, and they are determined to make a man of my son. They bring him down every evening and teach him to tipple like a man and to swear like a man and to have his own way like a man.
Arthur, it's time for bed.
Go to hell, Mama. Why aren't you laughing? Make her laugh, Papa.
She can't. She never does. Do you, my love? With your purity and your cold blood. She's so above everyone else, she never laughs at anything. Who wants her? Hargrave? Anyone want my wife?
That's enough.
Mama?
Arthur? Bed.
Get your hands off him, woman. He's my son.
Could I ever have imagined that I should be doomed to hear such insults and watch such scenes and stay quiet? It is too much to bear.
She began to form a plan.
This is the fifth anniversary of my wedding day, and, I trust, the last I shall spend under this roof. The world's opinion and the feelings of my friends must be alike unheeded. I shall take my son and flee to New England. I have a few jewels given to me by my aunt, which I shall sell. After that, we will live from my paintings. It will be hard, but never as hard as this.
If her husband did not notice the change in her, there was someone else who did.
I've been silent long enough. You tell me you have no allegiance to your husband. He calmly offers you to any man that will take you. Helen, let me protect you. I lay my powers at your feet, and you will accept them.
Let me go.
My darling, I will not be denied.
Listen to me. I don't like you. I have never trusted you. If I were divorced from my husband, if he were dead, I would not turn to you for help or love. There now. I hope you're satisfied.
Hargrave departed the following day and she did not see him again. The other stayed for 3 or 4 weeks longer, but she remained apart. She continued to plan her escape.
I have gathered a little hoard of my own and look forward to a speedy emancipation. I am fully alive to the evils that must result upon what I am going to do. But I never waver, because I never forget my son.
Mama, why are you wicked?
Who said I was wicked, love?
Papa.
Papa told you that.
He says Mama be damned.
He shouldn't.
Is Papa wicked?
He is wrong to say such things of others.
I don't want him to be wicked. I don't want him to go to hell.
January the 10th, 1827. Only let the stormy weather of this winter be abated, and some morning Mr. Huntingdon will clamour for his wife and son, when they shall be on their way to the Western world.
Helen. Writing? To your aunt and your brother?
No, Arthur.
Complaining about how lonely you are?
It's nothing.
Oh, a journal. With your leave, my dear, I'll take a look.
And the next part of The Tenant of Wildfell Hall will be on Woman's Hour tomorrow. And, of course, you can hear that episode again at 7:45 tonight. Thanks for all the emails about things you've heard on the programme today. Lots of people are very glad to hear Sue Lawley again, so thank you to everybody who mentioned that. And also quite a lot of grandparents quite honestly admitting that they feel as though they've done their bit and they have no urgent need to go and look after small children again. I was quite interested in the sheer number of people expressing that very viewpoint. Been there, done it, don't particularly want to go there again, quite a few people have said. Lovely email from Patsy, who's listening in County Dublin with her cat, and both she and her cat enjoyed Germaine Greer talking about why she'd like to be a lesbian, but couldn't meet all the requirements. Trying to think of a way of putting that into neat words. Anyway, she enjoyed it and so did the cat. And tomorrow, following our discussion about how much you should tell your children about your past, what about partners? Must you tell all to a soulmate? Do contact us via the website and tell us about your experience there. Jenny's got her big day at the palace today, but she'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Woman's Hour was presented by Jane Garvey and produced by Kirsty Starkey. Why are fungi wearing tights? Brad Westwood is in the field to find them, and I'm not sure what he'll be wearing in Saving Species right after the news. First, though, here's Julian Warwicker with a word about Call You and Yours at midday.
Vaughan, good morning. Overseas students, especially those studying maths and sciences, are growing in number at a faster rate than British students doing the same courses. A new report from the think tank Civitas argues that if a significant proportion of these overseas students return home after graduating, the British economy will not get the long-term benefit. Is that a justified concern? If you work in a university or you're studying at one just now, what's your experience? And why are these key courses apparently more attractive to students from abroad? 03700 100 444 is the phone number. Emails via the Radio 4 website. We're underway just after midday.